Krishna's for today. Therefore, since the Krishna Sotavamiji today will be quite enlarged here with the hearing which was received from Krishna. Therefore, we may not necessarily have to wait much. This is we are satisfied that the Krishna and the stakeholders are here. I'm not sure whether in terms of our hearings we are going to have the first petition with regard to the Mongolia Transport Corporation presented by Mr. Michael Machado. Is Michael Machado or that they are connecting from the gate security desk for the other is here. Would then in the same position have submission by the chief executive officer of my boy and transport, which will then be followed by a submission from first and labor relation manager. And then followed by the Department of Labor, the Department of Labor here, and then the submission by the NCOP from the table. Followed by the next committee on the business and development. That will be the submission that will be characterizing the next hearing. And we will then proceed to the second hearing, which Mr. Chambach is here. He will be presenting to us about his proposal and the decision that is wanted to us. And the Department of Labor again this year. I'm not sure of the portfolio committee and the select committee. Therefore, you are all welcome in this meeting of the select committee here today, the 26th of November 2014. Is there any apologies that have been recorded for this meeting? So we may continue to have a class of once a while, the secretary bringing the petition at you. We are compelled to wait for you. Don't even know what the agenda is. Apologies. So, yeah, you can have your free time for the next week.
Gracias. Thank you.
thank you very much, Honourable Member, and apology for today's donation for precisely waiting for our petition. I will watch for today that message. I want to believe that the petitioner is near now. Am I right? Oh, thank you very much. You are welcome to your apartment, and this is the Select Committee on Petition and Executive Undertakings. About a charge with the responsibility of processing the petitions as received by Parliament. We are sitting where we are now with the petition that has been referred to the committee by the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces to be processed according to the enterprise. The procedures we are going to follow is as follows. That you are going to be invited to introduce yourselves as to who are you, where are you coming from, and it can be proceed with your submission as contained in your petition. I'm fully aware, Honourable Member, that the petitioner present here is just a representative of a team of petitioners. There are almost more than 300. I want to believe that is the one who has been duly delegated to present to us the evidence on behalf of the entire 300 plus companions. As we'll be talking, we wanted you to understand that the hearings are regarded as taking place under oath or affirmation. All the information that you are going to give to us should be less of, you know, misrepresentations of facts. We need to take everything that you are saying with understanding that that information might be held to account one-to-one if you misrepresent facts in front of this committee of parliament. Having said so, one of the members, can we check for apologies? The only one that I don't know of or that two. One was it is from Honourable Mohati, who was just, you know, moved out for other commitments. And Honourable Wana, who's attending Joint Committee on Intelligence. And earlier I was going to apologize on behalf of Honourable McCarthy's, but he managed to take the phone to give us that. It looks like I've got another apology that wants you to register your answer.
And Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Chairperson just asked that we make a apology for him as well. He is in his own province, but he was a by-election.
Thank you very much. Is that another apology? Okay. This is the agenda to be guiding this committee for today. Is there any alternative issues that you thought are not correct? actually what I'm talking about. This is everything you share and really have an attention of the agenda to be the agenda of kindness today. Thank you, Chair. Just one point six. Yeah. Okay, so it's just taking of the time. Thank you very much. Okay. I don't know if you need to move because you're for the apologize. Thank you. This will then be our guiding documents for today. And now take this opportunity to invite representative of the Mayan Bumia Sherwood Corporation petitioner for telling them and lead out into the presentations of the petition. Mr. Machai. Of course, you are able to achieve, Mr. Machai, to use whatever language. We are assuring you that there will be no impact. We've got all 53 things in the house to exchange if you wish any language that not everybody can be able to. Over to you in your life.
Good morning, one of the members. My name is Jesus Michael Sineman Masaya. I am director of the company referred to as Machaya Consulting. I am here to present the workers' views to work for Shishkai Transport, and this was later referred to as Maibuya Transport. This company was closed down on the 30th of April 1990 in the former Sky region. By the time the company was closed down, it did not follow the procedures or the protocols of the government college of Shishkai. After the process, the former governor of Shishkai, Brigadier Obakozo, gave the directive to Mr. Reverend Muka to take charge of the company. The company was established by an amount of 15 million rand. What struggles me most is that among the days of the week, the company started to operate on Sundays, which was appalling to me when I was in the investigation. I started my investigation on the 7th of June in 2007.
That man,
When I was doing an investigation, there was a lady in Shoshana who was called Joanna Lindmont, who said we must not continue with the investigation.
Just one area that I haven't had to speak to. You are saying you are representing the former sister of transport workers. And not, I haven't had your house today, gave you the power of attorney who wants to call it. Because tomorrow the guys come and said, we'll send you a petition. And we haven't heard from your friends. Can you make us to understand how did they delegate that power to the friends?
The workers of the Sky Transport gave me a blessing or directive to investigate on their behalf. The total number of those workers is 850. Most of them have departed. It's only the beneficiaries that are presently living. When we were conducting the investigation, and we were stopped, I was accompanied by Captain Mayor from East London. After that, the office of the former Premier, Oshimo Badingela, they also intervened in the process, they were involved in the process as well. I gave the problem, as I said, the Premier, to do their work. I gave them time to conduct their own investigation on the matter. But they did not actually help us in this regard. In February 2010, I undertook a visit to the Union Buildings in the Presidency to formally launch a complaint on this matter. The then President, gave me a letter so that I must refer the letter to the minister, to the Premier, Mr. Bazana, and Ms. Barbara Hogan to continue with to continue in the, with the investigation on this matter.
Are you in 2010 abroad, and the same president was free to have a make for the Premier? I'm just, you know, I'm telling you so that we all say to you, I think we need a friend. I think you may be but you are paying in this class.
After we waited for a response from the Premier's office, but we did not get a satisfactory response or an assistance. In 2011, I therefore organized with us to go to the Premier's office. To launch a formal complaint in that office. contract officially were met by a representative by the name of Mashubandi Kwasho. If his memory serves him well, he also was a relation. Mr. Masvan Kwasho said he's going to make sure that we had a meeting on the 12th April in 2011. We heard that meeting at the transport office in Quigley in East London, as it was promised. On the side of government, Ms. Maximus Kwasho was accompanied by Fred J.
Marlowe,
Advocate Solela Fanana,
Mr. Eric Fortune, Ms. Goliath Michel,
and Ms. Goliath Michel. They were government representatives. I was accompanied by Mr. Maweli, who was the witness, my witness.
Mr. Finas Lasse.
And Ms. Finas Lasse.
Ms. Buleva Nomita.
And Ms. Buleva Nomita. And Ms. Buleva Nomita, who was a lawyer from Island. Mr. Kwasho was presiding over the meeting on that day. He asked us to actually tell what was the main problem. I told him that I want the APA certificate that was solely meant to close down the company in this London. So I wanted that certificate, the evidence of that certificate. He then said to me they don't have such a certificate. I said that if it's supposed to happen like that, because the current company, which is Mashuye, is operating under the name of Fiscal Transport Corporation.
I understand clearly today from Manado.
When I found out that the Mashuye was a city under the Sky Transport, of which Sky Transport does no longer exist, that was my finding. I therefore wrote a letter to the Ministry of Transport asking him to close down funds that are channeled to CTC because that company does no longer exist. Indeed, the subsidy was closed as per my request. What brings me here to Parliament is actually to expose the intellectualities or sort of like the ignorance that has been happening under the head of the criminal successfully, who were succeeding each other by the time, because all of them knew that company was operating unlawfully. Mr. Papama Kenyan from the senior office tells me that whatever I want, I am not going to get it. That is why now I decided to come to this committee of parliament, because we carry such powers. It's so hard that what takes in the fund of this type of sport was Sandman Benefit Fund. When I went to Sandman to find out about what had happened, they said there was a clause which stipulated that once they get the age of 6 years, it's where they will be using their life, or they will have right to benefit from this money or from this fund. I know that the money that was used to disband the health transport was allocated to Masmoud Maimouye, and the premiers who were there at the time knew about this process. When I was accompanied by four members to the then premier, the Honorable Magistrate, to ask him so that he can solicit this fund, he said, how can the illiterate people, how are they going to use money? Because they know nothing about money, because they are illiterate. Even if they ask the president, ask the outgoing premier, Honorable Mr. Kiki, have knowledge about this fund. Even the then minister of the Fasco was also aware about this fund that I'm talking about. The reason why I came here to petition is that the ministers who are there in the Senate cannot go and assist because of the coverage with these people who are fighting over the fund. That is why I decided to come here in Parliament in order to seek help. So therefore, that is my submission, Honourable Chairman.
Thank you very much. Before we move further to the next is there anything that you want to be clarified from the petitioner?
Honorable Julius, Honorable Kimberly.
Did you hand in a formal petition? Because
trying to convince everyone because she, if you came to Parliament directly in September, and I can't see the original document, the petition document, because I have to say that any few people is not a petition. Thank you.
From you mean from our administration side? To identify.
I want to see the actual signed petition.
Therefore, it is within us, it's not from her side, this side. I'm sure that's going to be looked into issues. They wanted all the supplementary documents, including the actual petition. You can look at that. If you report your assistance to do that, that's a good thing.
And then I finished maybe on the 9th of April, where I met the former chairperson, Peter Debo, and then
Peter Debo.
And the late secretary, Mr. Michael Pickett, and then the second and then I also came on the 27th of September, 2014. I was also welcomed by advocates in the lab and others. And also Mr. Charles was also present.
The issue of Chabobeki presented a
Thank you. like you wish. Come here, you all go, and I have to be happy in the activities. If I have a good word to come, you will find a friend to support you. You will find a kind of kindness to the children who cast. And then we come to the world. Any day you want to talk to me, I can tell you about Mr. Matai. Everybody will not have an ego. After the debate is over, I'll sit down for the people. But who comes in the game, I'm not going to be the game. Then I want to see the entire balance for to see that we can be seen in front of the last. So demand that in the world, I can be taken after the debate. So I will sit down for it. But if you are in the office, I don't know.
Because the only thing that is going to help
subject of this matter is that actual certificate. That is the one in which the administration gets that actual certificate. Therefore, I don't entirely agree with that sentiment.
Is there any other scientific question?
This is a question. This is to ask whether he is sure that he said everything he needed to say, and to assure him that you will act without prejudice, respect your petition and the people that you represent, but I'm sure that you have said everything that you need to say, because this is a parliament where we have listened to you as a petitioner. Thank you, sir.
Chairperson, I just have one further question. How did it come about that the petitioners specifically gave the mandate to the specific representative? What position did he have? What did he normally do? And how did it come about they gave specifically the mandate specifically to him?
I'm sure. Just to help you, Mr. Masari, this fire that we know is also, it doesn't contain any of, you know, the power of action. I mean, accident, the petitioner myself came to you. But what we are seeing here in one document, you sign as a witness, you understand, as part of them, not as the representatives of them. The reason we are trying to put this is because we have got no evidence that shows that these people that have petitioned to Parliament, tomorrow they will not come back and say, you haven't dealt with our money. Sarantama, you know, it is then that they are concerned with it.
What I can say is that if given time, because I was a big of party damage that I in my group case, and I make sure that every month end I hold the regular meetings, which are very happy. Some of those workers were here on the 27th of September. They were with the workers from Rangoon.
Just another shooting question, an emanation of my very first question. On that day, with the workers in Parliament, did you hand in a petition? What was the process of that? Because I can't see, then I need to go back to this committee. If you cannot ask a petitioner here for clarity, do you have sicknesses? Do you have a mandate? You brought this room to me to this committee today to handle chairperson. And we expect that you must know that information from committee side, officials must know that we place it there because this person is mandated to come and we must listen to this person. So that is my confusion. What was the process from that time when people came to Parliament on that day? Thank you, sir.
Let's also cut this and allow the NCO team at the time that you need a submission, if they will respond to that. Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Manabos.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is only on the powers of attorney. I think that the bottom line is the members of the team, this worker, to pay to MM Asana. So for what the cost to this bottom line, because the workers are to me are unemployed. Because to me, as far as I can say, that you are going to pay, not saying you're going to, but giving the power to the vendor. I just want to find out if you have the practitioner where they are aware what are they paid for, or they are paid that you are going to receive. And committing the cost for this case, that would be nice. What are they doing with money? Because to me, practitioner is a commission free. The government does care, she does have to pay, right, what you are, online, what you are, want the government to assist you at any time. You don't have to pay. So you just want to find out if they were not, or the practitioner, they were aware that the family is in a way to pay, to pay their taxes. Thank you, sir.
So I'm just as much as we can, not to your reason, because some of these questions need to get to answer. I'm not sure what I have not so have representatives for themselves, except the company of Dr. Marshall. Do you think you have got the answer? I'm saying the question that she asked, in essence, was supposed to be answered by the petitioner themselves. Taking notes that they are not here, do you think you can answer during this question?
And in our part of the family, in Cuba, scoping up and then contacted the
I cannot answer for them because when I was here on the 23, I was accompanied by the committee with some of the workers.
After you were spoken, when you were shifting, please switch your mic off so that others can be able to speak. Honorable Matter.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want a very clear answer to a very simple question. Now, I've seen this power of attorney, and I've made the assumption that the representative is an attorney. I just need it to be confirmed. And while he confirms it, can he just indicate to me, please, on this power of attorney, the R1,000 installment that has to be paid per month with regards to what is that R1,000 installment, please? So can you just confirm that he is representing in a capacity as the attorney, or if not, in what capacity? How did it come about that he was selected to represent them? And then secondly, what is this R1,000 for? Thank you.
So that
you have the quotation amounts for that effect. Are you on your answers, Honorable McCarthy?
Chairperson, I see the letter, the answer that the petitioner gave was 1,000 for the opening of the farm. If I read it correctly, it says, Isaiah and the sent to the reach to settle the aforesaid debts and costs to the creditor at the office of the mandated attorney, Machiah Legal Protection at East London, in installments of R1,000 per month. So it's an installment of R1,000 per month, sort of one sort of thing of R1,000, if I understand this correctly. It doesn't make sense at all. If it's just R1,000, then you would have scrapped not only the week and fortnight, but you would have scrapped the per month as well. But it says you have R1,000 per month. What are these people paying you for? Thank you for giving this opportunity. Every person, if I'm correct, has been to sign a power of attorney. So that every person has signed that they owe you R1,000. You are representing over 300 persons. 800. It's almost a million men. Not yet, but you're getting there. You're looking for others. I just want to tell you that it's quite frightening to think that R1,000 over the file to investigate the same thing, 800 persons, to do something that is supposed to be a free service to the citizens of this country. If that is so, then it's very frightening indeed.
I'm sure I can put it to you that in terms of the papers before us, it's exactly what you say, to say this is an installment per month until, in terms of what is in the document. I'm sure even yourself, if you haven't got the document you're talking about, you will see what you are talking about.
Just to follow up, I'm sorry, but even accepting R1,000 from all of them together to represent them in a petition that they could have done here for free at Parliament, that is fraud. Even R1,000 for all 800 of them. I'm sorry, they can't accept it.
Monsieur,
country, I did a petition by the Department of Human Government of India.
Maybe let's get some opinion on the matter and that in for now.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, members. While the government says that we're referring to state or district power, then it's not the power, then the community and acknowledgement of it. I'm not sure all the amount, could you say the whole amount owing. I'm not sure what amount this membership refers to. And then at the end of the decision, in the sound for services and the good show and the levels, I mean, it sounds more like an acknowledgement of debt than a power per se. You're now empowered to act on my behalf as X, Y, and Z. And even so, if it was a power attorney, the Constitution doesn't allow, or it doesn't disallow either, but it says that the decision should come straight to Parliament or into level the decision with the Secretary to the NCRP. Address to the chairperson of the NCLT. So that's my first issue. The second issue relates to this man's question over here. Was a petition delivered? On page 86 of the rules of the National Council of Governments for SETSA, it refers to the form prescribed, and I'm not sure, and I'm not aware of any form that has been prescribed or supplements under the review of the rules, but it does say, in terms of lodging and approval by the chairperson of the council, that each petition must be deposited for at least one day with the secretary. I'm not sure if this has been done, if there's any evidence in the summary made by the researcher that this condition in terms of the rules has been prescribed. But it looks like if the secretary, the secretary for the DCLT and the NH has took upon themselves to lodge this petition, which is a little bit concerning because the forms and the rules are prescribed by the so that was just my preliminary observations in relation to this. And maybe if you could then, if the committee secretary, if you can correspond with the secretary of the NA and NCLT, and ascertain from them whether there's been any formal petition handed in on behalf of all the petitioners, and whether Mr. Machaya is the legal representative or the representative of the group. I'm sure it would go a long way in clarifying all the questions that the members have. Another issue that I also have with some of the documents is I've only looked through a few, and Mr. Machaya, who I assume is the owner of Machaya of Legal Protection, also signed as a witness on the very same documents, which would be a clear conflict of interest in any legal document of the nation. So these are just, as I said, my preliminary observations, and I think we need to clarify some of these.
Thank you very much, Chair. One more to that.
Which are the policy requirements? I would not have come to the area of the council to acclimatize myself with the proceedings. And one of the members of the went out and came back when there was a inclined in the $5,000 from Mr. Machado. I just want to check. The update in my law is so that I understand it correctly.
You have to ask where for the service of interpretation.
Yes, I would like to do one thousand times my mind clear. To the work,
Okay, I think the honourable member is asking whether this 1,000 is paid by the individual or it is paid on behalf of all individuals. And also, it is possible that after the people have signed here, there are also outstanding amounts that they're supposed to pay. So can you please give clarity?
The Thank you.
My next question is confirmation, because I had this
is
生长百分之四十三，那它都是保持。它是保持固，不受温度管的关注，二零六八了，做不好，所以那个什么问题啊，就是可能可是可以让汽车要过程中出现红灯的管理。嗯。
When you respond to the mic off, because it doesn't have the recording at doing, it is doing the whole, you know, it has a purpose.
This is just for me to know that this address any mic that I, if it's where you open it from, then you said yes. And I asked him whether this office is always open. He said yes. And I asked him whether we get his secretary. So he said yes, but he used his son because his company is too small. After coming to company.
Just to close this issue with this page so that he can give it that. You are having that the paper that you are talking about is exactly the one that you have seen before you. Completely edited. President said yes, so that you can extend the copy. Are you confirming that the document before you reflects what you could know that is what you are, the so-called the power of attorney has been written in that way? Completely edited is what you know. Well, that way is a mistake. If you think that I'm a mistake, well, what mistake are you referring to?
The principal typing mistake under this power of attorney.
Don't forget, put that last time. And that's how we end up in high class.
For example, I took that last guy's name together with his IT. I did not have a guarantee that indeed he used to work for Shikai Transport.
When you put in your standard picture, to check it out. And then at the tower, at the end, you put it there. I'm telling you, you are harder than the one you are going to pay in the
public. Is it the paper to select the one you don't know, except the type in the state that you may talk to?
Actually, all the information here, it has been presented wrongly, like the wedding.
I'm now lost, because I was not checking. Whether the content is correct or not, I wanted you to confirm that one in that document is what you don't know.
Whether the language or poor or quality, it doesn't matter.
Just tell me, do you agree with the content that you are giving that is what you are saying, is what you know?
My question is to
confirm the right document. It's not your document, in a way. You are saying you don't know this document.
No. Mr. Masan, I wanted to confirm something. Do you know this document wrong or correctly? Do you know it?
It's wrong.
It's not right.
If you
are
wrong,
maybe I want to give you higher than asking one of the numbers. The reason I'm asking, because we are dealing with this document,
we have never checked whether that he knows that it is document. Every time we say, instead of saying it's my document, I know it or I don't know it, he says it's wrong. I think we are like generating a wrong mess. Just tell us whether you know this document, if it's that document. It's not that document. Where is that? Can you say that which is that I lie? Where did we get this file there from NCOP standard? Where did you get this file that you have given to us?
Thank you very much. My name is Bobo. I'm the postal office.
Can you finish that, Mr. Machado?
Yes. This document got from Mr. Machado on the 8th of October 2014. According from the official statement, it was myself and my colleague, Mr. Polo, who was the first time.
I think that honorable members, maybe let's work ahead. Let them proceed with our local missions on the matter. We have taken all evidence given by Mr. Machaya, and let's know there's something we have committed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just have a short question that I want Mr. Machaya to answer, and then I will have a short question. But before that, I think it would be wise for you to just remind him again that he is under us, or that he's supposed to be under us. My question is, what is his day-to-day profession? And then I will ask the follow-up on that.
Another question, Mr. Machaya.
My day-to-day job is to trace in various places where there are people's funds that have been lost. So that's my
thing. Thank
you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my follow-up question is then, if he does this sort of thing as his profession constantly, he makes his money from this. How can his documents still be wrong then? If he does this on a regular basis, then surely he should know what his documents say. And if they are incorrect, they should have been corrected a long time ago. If you work with this frequency, I'm seriously doubting whether they can still have problems on. It's like an attorney saying that, oops, my documents say the wrong things, when you work with the same document every single day. I can't believe that.
Well,
that's
my question. We have to ask Mr. Machaya. We have taken evidence given to us by him. Our honorable members.
Thank you, Chair. Because of the letter that is submitted to Parliament, he submitted other rules of the country. This is the first one. There's only two concerns. Second one, to find out that all the experts, if they pay any money to him, any type of internal regular debt over the city, any amount.
Any one of them, any part of them who has paid a portion of money, and how much is that? That is paid.
They must pay me 50 rands in order to go and face the information in the transfer. So, they did pay like an amount of fees to them.
Well, then all the tax fees to them, not thousand. The paper before you, which you signed as a witness, are you aware that it gets paid in a pen, written that same page? 1,000 rand per month paid. Do you see change? Change the fee. That is why I'm asking you. Not 100 rand cents for you. The one that you signed yourself. You yourself signed as a witness. No. Mr. Majesty. Are you aware that that represents 1,000 rand paid? Why are you not telling them that our those that have paid like that one? You find the person that has paid before you. Why were you not telling this person that they have you? You only tell them about the picture.
No, I do you.
Okay, thank you. I think, thank you, I want to understand. We'll then proceed with the submissions from other members. Thank you for having confidence in Parliament and come and present to Parliament. We will then go to the second layer. You will be, from time to time, whatever determination granted by the committee, you will be informed of. For now, thank you for taking good care of have us.
But now, when I saw the letter from
Parliament in Kushinachaya, talking about unemployment insurance payment. And in the letter, the last paragraph of the letter, not the last paragraph, but the first page of the letter that was written to Mr. Mashai, the Parliament.
I'm sure you have forgotten to tell us who you are, what portfolio are you working within the department, if you have your own department.
My name is Ibukoshin Kaliji. I'm the acting Deputy Director General of Labor and Policy in the department, based in Pretoria. Can I continue, sir?
Yes.
As I said, in the letter, in the last paragraph, I'm referring to the letter, that the copy of the letter that is written by Parliament, Commissioner Mashaya, which is a record of the meeting that was held. I'm assuming that on the 18th, as they indicated, that they were here. In the letter, the department needed to establish the facts about the non-payment of financial assistance from the farm. Now, it does not indicate here whether we've received information, because in the letter itself that Mr. Mashaya will assist with the information. Now, in order for us to check whether people have been paid, there's money due to them or not, you need the information. The most important information is the ID number of people so that we can check the system, whether they ever contributed. Remember, unemployment insurance is part of the insurance. You get insurance by contributing and you get payment when you lose your job. Now, for us to be able to share that, we need that information. And the report here says that the information was supposed to supply because of who are the people that we need to check, so we can check on it. And also, we must say, in terms of the law, there are new communications when the case is. Was we're talking about cases in 2007, people that were issued in 2007. In terms of the law, unemployment insurance, you are allowed to claim for 6 months to claim for those payments. Now, if you come 5, 6, 7 years after that period, the law passed by this parliament, late in the decision, it becomes a little bit difficult again to even make all payments, even if you got the information. When the time is passed like this. Therefore, I say to members that it's very difficult on this situation. First, we need information. Secondly, we don't want to give an impression that even if there is money, it can be paid. Because there are laws that govern the payment of money and income insurance. If you come in, you're not going to be able to pay. To get the money, we've got to go back and work. And if you're not more available for work, even if you are healthy, if you're not available for work, remember this is unemployment insurance. If you're not unemployed, if you're not available for work, then you're not unemployed because you're not available for work. And those are all the issues that we need to take into consideration in order to determine whether there is money that needs to be paid or not. That's the submission that I wanted to make.
Specifically, I need to talk to their case. What can you say to us? The case of the mine.
Specifically, I'm talking to that case. I'm raising two things, members. First, the time from when the people were dismissed. We're talking years in the past. And the limitation in the law as such that it's going to be impossible to make any payment because the law is clear that you've got to make applications to the majority. That's the first thing. And then another, we say that we can't give the impression that if you get the information, the money will be paid. Only after the process, we can appeal all of the issues with the use of arguments and let the people that are seeking for the appeal take those decisions. That's the first thing. Second, for them to be able to do that, you need information. And the information is the first thing as the numbers. The second thing then, in the checking on whether people need to be paid, you need to make sure whether people have contributed. But the unemployment insurance fund is a contributor fund. You contribute, you claim, you pay. If you have not contributed, you are not going to be able to claim anything.
And those are issues that we need to check with the police that we're supposed to supply to check the letter from family. That we have not received that information how to be able to do that.
There you are, honorable members, can we return clarity if there's anything on the board to that?
Thank you, Chairman. I think I will take this as a preliminary hearing from the petitioner in terms of his claim that has been lost. Because in the presentation, there are very enough that is informed by the committee.
Can we then move to Honorable Shuka? Next committee. Now you are 10.
I'm sorry, Chair, for the chance to examine the two reports. For me, you know, we welcome that to the presentation.
Maybe despite that we know you, the record of it might not know you. You have to tell us who you are, you are preferred, you know, in the next committee. Where you come from, and you start making something check up.
Maybe from Itabala, so I don't even mention my I'm one of the shepherds of Lima. I'm one of the shepherds of the Select Committee on Economic Development and Small Business. I'm one of the big committees, the National Committee of Pension, and a project. So that's on the left hand, submit that. In the presentation that was made by the presenter, in terms of the petition itself, there are some areas that need to be followed by this committee.
Well, I'm still on the submission relating to this petition. If he's doing a submission on top of labor, that is a chair. Yes. Thank you. I'm not supposed to have continued.
No, but it's intimidating.
No, you're not. Come on.
Second of all, I was saying is that I want to let some matter of the names that are included in the first petition in terms of formal petition. Maybe the petitioner has to represent verify. There was an authentic list of members whom he is representing. It was also, it makes it clear to the Department of Labor itself to make a follow-up on the situation in terms of those which are there. We should have the authentic list of the authentic names to be put so that we are clear with whom what we are talking about. But the second issue, Chairperson, you know, there are many more layers of what says in the list. Incidentally, by the department and also by because you mentioned people's names and the department and so on. Maybe you have to meet some other part at the provincial level of the Department of Transport. Because the Department of Labor is a national committee. But in my view, it's an entity. In the province, his power is right there. So, the Department of Labor will have to go get the soft information from their counterparts in as far as this matter is concerned. So that when they come here, they are able to respond, other than also reading the law, but also their homework in terms of their work, whether they do to see their views or what happened, as far as my new workers are concerned. That is my. Under my submission, Chairperson, including the board members of Abuja, those who are unable to attend, so that the petition select committee received a verified authentic report that we can make a determination at that level. So I'm just unfolding the process you come to work, and the Department of Transport, you go to a hundred men, this is a union, the Department of Transport, I would go to the previous system, but also the gentleman for the responsibility was if you listen from the figures that had been received, those figures, they are also the names, verified ones, they are not more than 10, instead of 10, that I have looked up, rather than the group that was working for my move. And that's why they pay that amount of money that they expected. So, we would need some more information as authentic from the presenter, so as much as it's only this matter, so that we are able to assist. I know the person, the firm that is referring to, those people are not from, they are from lands. Smith and Tabak, the large, the high quality stuff, you know, having so on. So, Tabak is still talking, so I'm saying, this group could be for at least some documents for them, really in terms of process and this.
Can I repeat the same question from the Tonight Committee on the Honorable Man?
And for the presentation of the minister, this is ahead of me, but I think that's what I said. He says it's going to be difficult as a for the Department of Labor to proceed, even though they get an information. Because this is the doctor of, say, 6 months, 6 months is passed. Now, if you're requesting more information, you are raising expectations that you might be able to do something with the government. So that's the reason why I was asking this, why are we still doing this? Because the Department of Labor said to us, remind ourselves of the law that of labor time. So, because first of all, if you test what people are doing.
Honorable. Is it we have revised that representative from the Student Committee on Labor with the mere purpose of telling us what rights have they done, what do they know about this? Do they have any plan from a labor perspective, point of view of lobbying, as it intends to close this gap? In the presentation, whatever transition you wanted to should be in line with that. The issue of arriving at the determination, you will be given an opportunity to say, let's look at what we have been given, what is the question of the committee. For now, there's no worry about what other person. We just want to be sure that we have heard what is it really said.
Maybe that is from the State Committee of Labor. When we request more documents from the Masal, are we not just raising expectations? This is a question I'm posing to the
State. Maybe also couple of people have to say, should that information be given? Will we be able to respond to the request as just wanted by the petitioner after that? The Honorable Sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. First and foremost, the select one is the first time that we come across myself because people come to us and they appreciate your invitation to us. The second is not listening from the presentation. You can put in the oral expectations to members either way, unless you get all facts on the table. You know, we don't have facts. This information is not very authentic. You know, they are very much very serious, both in the presentation and in the documentation. Even if you do get all that, the determination will be made at that point when you want facts. Otherwise, it's difficult to reach out or pre-conclude what will be our course of action. Otherwise, we need some. And also, we wanted to check the authenticity of the presentation, because there were many questions that were answered, and some were satisfactorily answered in terms of the question. So, we were not in the expectation. We have to get authentic documents and names of what are Michigan going to do with it, and whether the question is charged in question, even chancellery of the situation, we don't know the numbers.
Thank you, sir. Honorable Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Colors by Honorable Chairman. Right now, I'd like to hear from the department from the central team, the upper leadership on this one. Well, something, if you can get the information from
the
Thank you very much, sir. My name is Lumbo Kaleo. I'm the Costa officer in the NCOP. So, President, I would like just to indicate that this is of this question. Just to indicate that on the 22nd of September, a delegation of 106 people were former employees of the Kaiser Sports Corporation from the Eastern Cape arrived in Parliament to submit their concerns regarding paying for wages, YF pensions, dissolution benefit fund from the Sky Eco Corporation, which is now trading under the name of my Eco Corporation. And part of that delegation, there were also the ex-employees of the government as well, with regard to the very same concept. So after that, there was a correspondence that was conducted by the Secretary of Foreign Affairs. Well, they were the ones that when that delegation came, they were the ones that were dealing with that delegation. After they conducted the correspondence, undertaking to ensure that this issue is being dealt with within the group. Within a relevant period of time, which was indicated that within the month of November at least, they would have done something with the Bethel's petition. That data was signed by both the Secretary of the NA and also the Secretary of the NCOP. Then, after that, the Secretary of the NCOP insulted myself and Mr. Skoll, who is also a professional officer of justice in this moment, to in order to expedite the whole process to done our preliminary investigation as well. So they call us together with the National Assembly. And then we directed the work. The National Assembly was only focused on the transmit. And ourselves were only focused in SOP on the Maiwo Transport Corporation. Then and on the 10th of October 2014, the petition was referred to the Select Committee on Petition Selective Undertaking. Then, I'm making reference to the timeline that I said when we're doing preliminary investigation. Of which that system was also provided to the community system. So that was at the small scale. I think before the 8th of October, we requested a document from Mr. Asari. On the 8th of October, you provided us with documents at the fiscal center. Part of those documents was that there was not the power of cutting and also the ID copies of the people who are claiming that were beneficiaries. Those that are still alive and those that are deceased. We took those documents and we signed for those documents.
the two documents to our offices, and those documents are part of the files that we provide for them, that we provide also to the committee service, also to the city as well. Then, on the 27th of October 2014, we received a response from his guide Pascambari, which is sorry for my way, because we are doing this investigation to get an information as to how far do they know about this claim for education and what is happening to the city education. The response that we got on there, it indicated that this matter pertained to the fiscal bus company that was liquidated in 1990. My Eagle Transport Corporation does not have records of former CTC employees. In an attempt to assist, however, we managed to find one of the lawyers who once handled this matter on behalf of former CTC employees. He has not committed a case on this matter. Said to say he will prevail for us in due course, and we are still waiting. We are trying to prevail upon him to make an invitation if he will make the information available. And if he does, what course? Answers will depend on his response, and our influence is limited on this matter. Since we got this email, nothing has come to us to indicate that this is how far they engage with those that is with regard to the Mayu Corporation. And what information with our colleague from the inside was also dealing with the transmit. Then on the 26th of September, they requested information from Mr. Rochester Line. I want to specifically with the transmit. Calling information from Mr. Rosas Salan of Rosas Salan Consulting. Mr. Salan was also, according to the information, he was sending the issue of the unpaid benefits of all those things. That's the reason that we, in a certain way, was referred to. His response, with regard to the information that was posted from him, was to say that We would like to advise as follows. That we do not know a person by the name of Mr. M. Masai from the so-called Masai Data Protection. We do not have a company called Rhodes with a line consultant. The name of our company is called Gateway Rhodes Tourist. In the light of the background, I have said above, we therefore that is not a close from our side. And following that, that was the response that we provided on the 28th of September. On the 2nd of October, there was a telephonic conversation with Mr. Rolf Ralland, and he indicated that this matter was called like a gateway to our story. That telephonic conversation was coming out from the inside, as I indicated earlier, that he was getting the transmit. Then, at the telephone conversation was put carefully, information again that was requested from the Strasbourg Commission regarding the outcome of the decision, when they were dealing with the matter, or any other information on the matter would assist the official that had not received the message. Mr. Rossus Farrano responded as follows. He will liaise with his legal team and the office of the public prosecutor on this matter, and he indicated that he will get help to the court who are dealing with that issue in writing. Then, up until the 3rd of October, Mr. Rod Sarani has not made Corners Parliament or submitted the steps for setting cases in the conversation. If the committee looks carefully here on this one, honestly, he decided that he doesn't know anything about Mr. Masaya from the so-called Masaya position. And now, on the 2nd of October, he's saying that now he will be asked to this legal team and the office of court process on this matter. And he indicated that he will get back to Parliament as soon as possible. Up until this point,
getting them short. Then on the 2nd of October 2014, there was also, before that, there was also a request that was sent also to the Department of Labor on the Transnet X workers. But the final commission was attached to this issue. And it's specifically with the WIF. Then the response indicated that some measures from Amelia Padiso from the Department of Labor. The response indicates that a list of 504 beneficiaries was given to Mr. Padiso for further investigation of both Transnet and CSI services for UIF declaration. On the that was the response was to say that IT numbers supplied the chest and did not have any information from both transmitters and transport services. And on the 14th of October 2014, Mr. Madison Magobe from the Department of African Rights forwarded the response from Transnet. A response was received from Transnet on the issue of pension and wages and letters of dismissal. The response provided background information on the matter. Transnet states that the dismissals were issued on 1st November 1998. Therefore, it is highlighted that the Department of Labor records could still reflect them on their system as the rate of Transnet contribution to UIF. Furthermore, Metropolitan indicated that they paid out to employees their contribution, but only in respect of those who were members at the time and could match them and could match their names and ID numbers. If one of the names of the institution submitted to Mr. Marshall were matched and submitted to Metropolitan, who advised that names and ID numbers were not on their database. So that's how far we have gone with regard to the situation, and also the fact that we prepared and also the information.
Any for us on the matter on Alpha Monica?
Thank you.
tell you for that. I'm really
I want to attend.
I'm really colored by
okay. I'm going to show you what for you. And he said he wanted to do the
with regard to this question, whether I would accept the question, as I've indicated in my presentation, so it's only, I think, after the question, I'm not sure, after the question, second, or what is the second or second, we were called by the first of the NCOB, which is the voice of officer from the LA and also from the NCOB. He showed us the letter. But that was a change thing for Mr. Marshall. We have made an allegation to say that they will try to ensure that Mr. Marshall is being dead. So the action upon that is that this person that was received from the shelter to the NCOB. Then also the petition of also, after we received that information, then also the petition was also referred to the select committee.
The main question is, did you receive a petition from...
I cannot put it that we received a petition. We acted upon the discussion of the Federal Justice Department to say that we need to do a preliminary investigation with that petition so that we can take the petition for the committee when the committee is dealing with this petition. It has already got the information before it, so that it can be
processed.
Thank you. And also want to point the point of Route 29, 230, 233, 232 was way full. Because 239, the person out is to submit the petition. The capital of the country, guidelines, and I say that 2 days talk about the Shalamu. 233, the time is by the commissioner. And if there is a suicide by Mr. Mann, 232 lodging and approval by the chairman of the court. So I ask if the chairman of the court has the exact same instructions. So to me, I want to find out what are the temperatures of the country. And even approval for this petition to be submitted to the police, because this is a police supposition. First, the temperature of the country must be dead and then give the approval of the petition. So the letter that is only from the first half of the issue to the temperatures of this community. But nevertheless, I never say, when I really come from the church of the nation, who is setting up the community, but first, the speech. But I hear that there was a meeting in the process of investigation, program investigation, whether we should proceed or not. But I want to find out whether the chapter of the issue is
successful. No, the chapter of the issue is she normally finds our sort of like in the Morana, that has been corrupted, to impact. Please that the petition from the event information by this person has been released. It is dealing with the subject matter is being referred to the select committee on petitions and executive activities. So she signed that letter. She signed that letter. And that letter was also forwarded to the select committee. But hence that petition appeared in the petition. But in terms of the petition itself, I cannot say that just the petition is the letter that was acted upon. It's the letter that was signed by all citizens that acted upon.
Yes,
little bit covered even by the answer from the official thing that we were working under instructions. But as the instruction that you told us, that they were also given something that we have to investigate the case. And when the full investigation did discover that this is a petition, that this is a very petition, or it's something like that, if you remember, the member was asking about Mr. Maibu here, whether he's a consultant, or the lawyer, you don't get those letters like power of attorneys. Then I want to know, in your investigation, how do you even find out this petition is supposed to be here today? According to your investigation, can you respond to that? How about was the head of the agency of the
Thank you very much, sir. I think when we look at it, the first petition of the petition, said that it is a petition to us. We are dealing there with people, the hundreds of petitions that came to Parliament from the Eastern League, serving from that long system from the submitted their concerns, and from the level it was sent from the Eastern Stars, without that as officer into the Eastern Court. I think from that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, this is taking an awfully long time. I am going to refer back to the rules because I think the point that Honourable Man Bulli made is very important. I understand that the petition, or the so-called petition, has been referred to our committee by the Chairperson of the Council. However, we don't have rules for London Charity. They're there for a reason, and they should be adhered to by us, as well as by the chairperson, as well as by the support staff. So I would again ask the question, have all the rules, in terms of the NCOB rules, have they all been complied with formally before the petition was submitted? Has specifically Rule 233 been, supposed to be 231, there's a typing error over here as well, has that specifically been complied with? Because 160 people coming to Parliament can be anything from visitors to the tour group to people who actually have a complaint. But to constitute a petition, there are certain rules that have to be adhered to by this committee and by the chairperson. Have those rules been adhered to? And if not chairperson, then I think we should take up this matter and ensure that before we deliberate on this and proceed in spending more money in this regard, that we first ensure that it constitutes a petition in terms of the rules before we can actually, in terms of the rules, treat it as a petition. Thank you.
I'm sure the area where we have much on you know I have never was challenged to say this is what we want to share, this is what we want to do. And we if it does not any other follow-ups, it looks like the NCOP friends there can see it of course you're concerned you have that some of the things when we're not follow this kind of guideline. Thank you. I think we have heard about this petition we heard from the Labour, we heard from the Select Committee, we heard from the NCOP Flanders. The reason the NCOP Flanders was made to become part of this presentation. Basically, I think that is half of the manner in which this presentation was, you know, evaluated. And I'm sure when you another, we normally don't invite them because they're not part of the petition. But in this one, we invite them after we look at the areas that you are talking about. Okay? So we were fully aware, but we thought that for them to present and clarify, it will help everybody to understand. Is there anything for them that requires then it will remain in the select committee to deliberate into the fact which I guess is not now because we have got another petition where we deliberate on them and arrive at our determination and divide our report in this regard. No, there's no set up more information you can just provide.
we invited them after we realized the benefit that the health guys are talking about. We wanted them to tell why have they stayed the way they've done. Then we put them in a right point, whatever we want in this regard. Say we observed this and that, this and that, we recommend this and that, this and that, but not now. Okay? Thank you very much. We have done with this first session. We have to change 5 minutes, you know, comfort break, and I know it is, we are almost caught up by time, but we can't do any amount because we have invited another patient, we cannot do so much, I can ignore that. 5 minutes will survive just to stretch a little bit, come back and we'll continue. And in that regard, the Mr. President will be questioning ourselves. We have already acclimatized ourselves to the proceedings that we are going to take in order to ensure that 5 minutes are ready.
Oh, how? The bank card?
Yeah, it's a white envelope. It's not there.
Where?
Thank you.
Titans, we seek
No, thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members, for coming back. We are now moving to the second part of our hearing, which is 5.1, presentations by Mr. Henry Terrapan. Just the normal reminder and work that we should not get tired of doing. You are welcome to the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa in regular the Select Committee of Decision and Executive Undertakings, which is a committee of the National Council of Provinces. You are going to be given an opportunity to present your petition in details to us. Again, Parliament rules require that particularly one petition, that any petitioner should take an oath and be deemed to be given to this particular indication that you are giving evidence under, or you know, as being taken under oath or affirmation, and we accept that all the information we receive will be free of any misrepresentation and in the good way of the democracy of South Africa. Over to you and your welcome. You start by telling us who you are, and I just think what you're bringing as it should be coming from that friend. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to be present here and present our petition. In order to assure that everything talking to you about this group of Pastor Albert, I speak to the points of going off it, and I've also got the research with me. So if I read, then just excuse me, because I have not to transgress any laws. I'm in the grounds, and the level of our foreign request, that the basic conditions of employment act be amended to 15 days to 20 days for foreigners in South Africa, which is occurred. Or adoption of the child or children. And if you look at the current regulation with regards to the licenses of the Employment Act, fathers can only take in South Africa family responsibility leave. That means the applicable section is section 27, and if I can read it, the section applies to an employee who has been employed with an employer for longer than 4 months. And the works for at least 4 days to reach for that employer. And employer must grant an employee during each and each cycle at the request of the employee 3 days privately, which the employee is entitled to take when the employee's child is born and the employee's child is sick. So that basically means if your child is born, you are only allowed like 3 days to support your partner or your wife as well as to bond with your child. In some cases, you can also like have an older sibling, and 3 days is just not good enough to be supported of your wife, partner, or to look after the child's duties of a newborn, as well as your other siblings that you've got. So we need to like, and also with regards to this applicable law, second instance, my twins were born on 24 November 2013. Done they spend other than 39 days in ICU, whereas his little brother and twin brother spent 79 days. Now, if you take like on Monday, that was like a year since they were born. Now that's been back approximately 12-13 months in this year. Now, family responsibility also covers the child is sick. So, I know that this perception like that the child has no patient when it comes to hospital, but like with only 3 days to cover the birth as well as sickness and illness and that sort of thing, that's just not enough. Then like if you have to look at the cost more of teenage type paternity, what I've done is like I've worked out based on the that is much income for employed males at 1564 as a percentage of total labor was 9,396 per month. So if you take the average salary per month of 9,396, then the cost of paternity for 10 days will only be 4,335.95 per birth of a child. Now, if you look according to the population reference bureau, the average number of children born to a woman during her lifetime was in South Africa only 2.3 children. So, unfortunately, I couldn't find any statistics on how many, what is the average children born to a male. But if I look at 2.3, the maximum that I can see could either be between 3 to 4. That's the worst case scenario. So, if you take, for example, the cost of that 4,335 rand and times by 3 or 4, that's another number of money. And the next question will also be, who will pay for the benefits? Should it be the employer, like the family responsibility, or alternatively, it can also be funded by the unemployment insurance fund? Because currently, the payment is basically to protect the woman employer against undue discrimination, but the unemployment insurance fund actually does the payment. So, there's future options for the cost of that in that space potentially. It could either be funded by the employer or by the unemployment insurance fund. Now, the next question is with regards to the opening up the impact benefit of paternity. Now, if you look at the impact on children, in the UK, fathers not using paternity leave and not sharing self-responsibilities are associated with increased likelihood fear of having developmental problems if you look at this in 2007. If you look at Sweden, for example, an increase in father's share of parental leave has been paralleled by a downward trend in child injury rates between the ages of 0 to 4 years. The study that was done there was not at all from 12. Some have suggested that leave taken by fathers would be associated with greater incidence of child injury. It's not borne out in the research, but in Sweden, child injury in the ages of 0 to 2 years was lower during paternity as compared to maternity. Then an interesting fact was that one parent is better educated than the other. Some children are benefited from the better educated parent by taking more care. As I was given in Norway, girls have been found to be better at school than the father was the better educated than their mother to longer than that was needed. The research was by Cruz et al. 2011. If you look further, Australian children's fathers had longer after the birth from later in cognitive development test and were more likely to be prepared for school at ages 4 and 5. The research was done by Yerta et al. 2015. Then, also with high take-up of paternity by Swedish fathers is into more contact with children of the separation between under and young in 2009. So, as you can see, it's all positive if you have the benefits of the impact of paternity on children. If you look at the impact on mothers, in the UK, a father's case of paternity leave is strongly associated with mothers' well-being 3 months after the birth, original release of 2013. Especially now with decision days of activism, it doesn't look like the mothers can be like a well-being, that it should be an important thing. In Norway, mothers' absence due to sickness is reduced by about 5 to 10% from the average level of 20% in families with fathers at longer leave, better than marriage 2009. In France, for example, the paternity results more infancy by fathers, new mothers are less likely to be depressed. The journal of 2012, so even the disease is not natural depression among the mothers. Now, interesting, the impact on fathers. Swedish fathers who took paternity leave in the late 1970s had about an 80% lower risk of alcohol-related care than were less than other fathers, and 16% of all the disease risk of early death. That's according to Manchester et al. 2008. Swedish fathers who take longer leave are more satisfied with the time spent with their children, now as in 2008. you should take, for example, in fact, of knowledge, in fact, of a father, child, and involvement, three fathers who took on this eternal role that he during the 1990s supported and taken belief and acted in the very close emotional relationships with the children and understand and feel responsible for self care after the belief period was over. Colonel Custom Falls. In Norway, two early entry studies of lesbian couples found in father's belief there should be a redefinition and distribution of thoughts at home, grant and coin in 1998, at the debate. The development of competence in software, brand, and current 2005. And so, then there's also, for example, if you can foster that formally, you are 25% more likely to change methods, 90% more likely to feed them after 12 months of diabetes, and to get up to them at night, the Melbourne World Forum, 2007. This was unrelated to the commitments to energy. The childbirth that was expected at the time by the other family in the strength of the children, and that all becomes interesting. In analysis of Swedish fathers working adults, private companies said that fathers could longer live more involved in the care of their children and not up to age 12. And any leave taking was needed, the fathers were more likely to look after children on their own while the mothers worked also involved. In Australia, for example, asking at all from the Defence Company Association to fathers leave taking and being likely to look after children on their own at weekends. Asking at all from the 10th and later, it also referred to reported that Australian fathers who take 15 more days of work around childbirth were more likely to be involved in childbirth-related activities than children 2 to 3 years old. And then a very important thing that is sometimes neglected is the impact of couples. In Norway, following the reduction of the full day, quite a significant number of fathers took longer leave. After this, an 11% lower level of conflict over household division of land was found. Couples of 50% were likely to see a class was an equally considered and different around than to them. Similarly, in Quebec, some years after the introduction of the day, quite fathers tried to be more engaged in 15 hours of task. That led them to 13. And thus, evidence based on the grand participation also shows it's connected with couple relationship development. Swedish couples are 30% less likely to separate the past in more than 2 weeks to care for the first child, or not 2001. And then, also very important, there is less violence in families the fathers have taken for interviews, altered at all 2008. So that is why the impact of fathers, mothers, couples, the family. But let's talk a bit about business, because business is also important. Now, the business case of paternity leave, fathers take up of paternity leave and parental leave enables mothers to take shorter maternity leave. This is helpful to employers. Fathers take up of paternity and additional paternity leave may improve both fathers and mothers' physical and mental health, with positive spin-offs for employers to give cost to them of poor and career health. The recent fathers giving responsibilities transparently to the paternity enables employers to optimize men's performance. Speaking fathers on the carpet is no longer a viable strategy. And then, fathers stand up paternity leave and bother families against separation and divorce. Family breakdown is very costly to employers. Fathers experiencing family breakdown typically perform poor at work and are at high risk of unemployment. Then what I've also done is the research I've gotten from this, I've got a receipt from the Father Institute in the UK, who were very helpful in sharing the research that they've compiled in association with others, and with me, so I'm very fortunate that they were willing to assist. If you look, I've also got paternity, parental, and adoption leave, and there are examples of leave provisions in national legislation which can be used by fathers at the time of childhood. If I look at Africa, for example, and I'm just looking at the countries which paternity leave, Algeria, 3 days of paternity leave. I must be honest, I've never even in my career discussed it before, Djibouti. 3 days paid paternity leave, among the Labour bankers and family units, Kenya, two which have died at the end of the day. Mauritius, four continues working deaths affected at the end of the day. Morocco, three deaths. Mozambique, one death affected at the end of the day, immediately after the delivery. Rwanda, four deaths of died at the end of the day. Tanzania, the United Republic of Tanzania, three deaths of died at the end of the day. Tunisia, one death of the end of the day. Broad sector, where there's two deaths from the public sector. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 countries that's already implementing paternity leave. And just to give an example, paternity leave, what we refer to and what is the definition, it is leave generally available to fathers only, usually to the date soon after the birth of the child, and intended to enable the father to spend time with his partner, new child, and other children. Then, what I've also done, just I've also asked specifically for people who adopt children, because currently under Unemployment Insurance Act, number 63/2001, that was amended by the Unemployment Insurance Amendment Act number 34 of 2003. For maternity benefits, is the maternity benefits, but on the other side of the adoption benefits. Now, to adoption benefits, section 14, only one contributor of the adopting parties is entitled to the adoption benefits contemplated in this part in the set of features of the child. And only if the child has been adopted in terms of the Child Care Act, the period that the contributor was not working was being given for the child, the adopted child is below the age of 2, and the application is made in accordance with prescribed requirements and the provisions of this part. So, I think like with the adoption, that's also very important that both parents are involved from day one, and only if you have one adopted parent, I think that's not, we should definitely look into that as well. And then, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. President. Honourable members, there you are. Is there any clarification to however, I'm going to require that provide these documents for members that they will be covered, made confident that be provided to them by the time they arrive at examination, they will also follow the within that question. Honorable Sugar, Honorable Madam President, Julian, member of the
school. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for the presentation also from Dr. Blanche. The constitution, I don't want to listen to you on the opening remarks. I don't want this to be more. But then, on the alternative side, I saw that the other bad experience should not have enough time to look after the student because of the delivery in the ICU and so on. I just want to make my mind clear that he is contemplating that the 3 days is not enough for alternative so that one can be with his wife. For his partner. That was even contemplated in the position. 2 days is not enough. And also, the departments might tell us in terms of the benefits thereof.
But how focused on what you want to
experience? Yes, I understand. But I'm just moving my mind to the horizon. When other departments appear, 3 days is not enough. And that he is referring to maternity leave. That was his contemplation.
Is it a question? Actually, I want a family responsibility that's 3 days to still be passed, but I want to bring in the paternity leave as an additional leave that's available to fathers, and for that, it's 10 days. 10 days. That's the business plan.
Thank you, Chairperson.
thank you for the presentation. I first want to find out, in your research, did you come across any challenges that need to be looked at, that need to be addressed in the process, that other countries have experienced, and that we need to, well, should this be considered, then some of these needs to be to make sure we don't face those same challenges as well.
Thank you for that question. It all depends on the eligibility. Now, certain companies have taken on language like you've got to be maternity leave, you have to be employed for a certain period of time. So they put in a little time definition to get back the benefits. Other countries, for example, have said you've got to be living with the mother of your child. Other countries have taken further step, which is, I think, in South Africa, if I can be corrected, only 40% of fathers appear on childbirth certificates. So, even in South Africa, you can say, like, you can submit the life of maternity benefits, 8 weeks in advance, or the documents, and you've got to also submit the birth certificate of your child. So, those are basically the challenges, like, you can have requirements, like, under the time frame, you can say that the birth certificate, or additional, if it was like I also said, the father must live with the mother. That was the conditions.
And I'm going to finish. I just wanted to say to Mr. that the plans I do in my current country to Parliament to do this petition, it's a lot of cash. And I will make money for that and for the your base so that. I just didn't hear something correctly. You said something about paternity leave for fathers after delivery, soon after delivery, and also for new babies. I didn't get it done with newborn babies, so I thought it might include adoption of babies. I just get it done. Thank you.
Thank you for the call to this. It's worth birth. So birth would be like newborn babies, but also with adoption. And if like I put it like you adopt as previous contact or like as a husband and wife or two partners who are going to have children and you've got to adopt, then I'm also about to see that fathers, for example, then I can also have like a teenage to bond with the new child. So then it's also a new experience and like sometimes I can put it with adoption and it's like it was pretty very difficult like if you I can't even put myself in the school shoes but of course I think that's what neglected in the last conditions of the prostate as well. So I was like to see teenage for the fathers but also that be extended to the adoption or to the adoption.
No, I'm going to answer your question. Just for do you think the proposal wants to be taken up on? What implications would it have on the economy of the country? Because for you to have this paid 10 days leave, should talk to that. Do you think the economy of South Africa is ready to accommodate that? What are the challenges that you are facing. I know that the talks we have to go into details and find all those things, but I thought from your efforts, you might have now looked into it and consider what South Africa's economy looks like. Will we be able to, buy for that?
These are that is why a lot of economists have asked me that exact same question And therefore I work on specifically like what the cost would be. And like if you can a lot of people contribute to the unemployment insurance fund. And that is like because 1% is by the employer and 1% by yourself. So if you look at it, yes, it is a cost then, it's a little bit more than 4,300 then, as I mentioned earlier. But if you look at these benefits, the sense of gut mental depression among women that is reduced. So like the impact on a public health would be a lot less. In fact, like the doctor's cost involved and there are sort of things like the currently like maintenance studies, parents are more involved with the children, so they would be way more to look after the well-being of the child. As I mentioned, the divorce, and it also is in the abuse. And so the very conceivable of it is a shame, but you've got to be social development money that's been saved. So that is also an important thing to consider. And so I think like yes, it is a cost factor, and the benefits far outweighs the most cost value if you want to know.
Can we then thank Mr. Tarabnax and move beyond the factor? Thank you, Mr. Tarabnax, and our meeting on this final determination will use appraise you and then make you aware of what final determination that we arrived at. We will now invite the Department of Labor to talk to this country in particular to say what is their views on this particular issue.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr.
President. And a warning still applies.
I think that everything I say finally questions. My name is Eddie Gosman Kadibi, acting Deputy Director General of Labor and Sports in the Department of Labor. And the view of the Department of this issue is that the issue of the 3 days of family responsibility, whether it's enough to be used for both parents to look after their children is an issue that but the issue, the end that I want to raise is the issue that I get a little bit worried when the protection given to women is equated the same as the protection that must be given to men. Remember that it's only women that live there. It's only women, men don't live there. Therefore, to say that women are protected by law, you call it disability benefit. It's not a correct comparison. I'm not saying that men should not get protection, but you can't get the 4 months that women are getting. And so because they're getting 4 months in the industry, therefore, men should be getting something that gives us a benefit. Secondly, progressive countries around this area, if you don't consider the Canadian countries, share family responsibility. The facility is a year facility. The mother can take 4 months, 3 months, and then the father can take. They can decide which one takes the facility. Now, if you have a facility that is standing alone, let us say in the agreement between paternity and family, and family responsibility is released. 5 days. What you are creating is creating a division and you are treating women. I'm not going to use two women, especially like this. After they give it back, because you can't take it, what are the forms to give back? And you still have external responsibility. Now, the men will have feminine responsibility, and the feminine is going to take 10 department. We could use also feminine responsibility. And the women will only have 3 days in terms of the law of the state. And our approach, I mean, this issue was debated and made it hard when the issue of the DSA was introducing federal responsibility. Where should you make a division between federal responsibility and paternity leave? And the decision then was that if you do that, yes, you'll be doing good to men because you're giving them the extra days. But if you're not giving the same extra days for women, in terms of feminine responsibility, now you're in a situation where the men will have 2 days, feminine responsibility that we can take, they will have paternity leave to pay. And remember I said that men do not do that. And therefore our principle on the issue is that if people are going to have days for people, be it men or women, outside giving birth, it's got to be equitable. If men are going to be entitled to 13 days, that is potentially an feminine responsibility, we believe that women should be entitled to the same treatment. And that's why in our legislation formulation, we opted for feminine responsibility. And that feminine responsibility can be used both for feminine responsibility and the men can use for paternity. As I said, the issue of the 3 days, whether it's enough or not, is an issue that I could actually, I could have done when you have been a 3 days is not enough. Although, for both men and women, and all men on the issue of feminine responsibility. Therefore, our approach on this would be, if we do everything on this, it would be far better if we do something in increasing the feminine responsibility. Whether the men use it as a capability, whether the women use it for looking after the children, it's not the same thing. If the argument is that paternity, the number of days of kids is not able to cater for the issue that we concede that if families are given more time with their children, it's good for society. That's good. And both mother and father, if they're given more time, especially when children are still young, for them to be able to bond with their children. The only difference that we have is that we wouldn't want a situation that children of single mothers can only bond for 3 days. Because they are single mothers, the father is not around, but children of parents that are staying together will be able to bond, in this case, for 7 days, because the mother will have a family responsibility of 3 days, the father will have 10 days of paternity leave, it's a longer time, and that's the only issue that seems that needs to raise on the issue. We don't think that there could be any more disagreement with the notion that as society we've got to give a lot of more days to both the mother and the father to be able to bond with their children. And that you can only do after that. And you can't do that before birth. And that if the father in using their feminine responsibility that if it's increased, usually also is paternity as the law are already allowed. We don't think that it could create a lot of issues there. We accept also that for us the payment should be prepared by the donors. The donors have got the responsibility to ensure their workers are also healthy, because healthy workers are productive workers. If workers' families are not looked after, they are not likely to be productive, that's a question to be able to cost. But we're not at best if a decision is taken through consultation that it be funded through UI, if depending on that unemployment insurance fund, there's money to eat and all those issues. And that's for us the issue that we've got to put on the table on the issue of paternity.
There we go, one of the members. As you are talking for now, the management department has not reached a level of considering this. Thank you. Any further sharing this situation in other words? Again, you present yourself very clearly. It's currently the public is now across now.
So we could have a different platform, because I thought we have a better decision.
Yeah, so we might have. So.
they don't have their own. That's where we are. That's where we are.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jay. Just to be clear, I think I just need to understand the Department of Labor. What was your stance in the beginning, and did you change it somewhat towards the 2-3 months from now? Was it necessary for a petition to go this far, for a petition to actually listen or try to think about some things like this in order to rest in your own words? To bond, you know, our society with our families, to grow the family structure in our society. That's the first one. Would you say that men are not important workers in the immediate support of their partners or wives directly after delivery of a baby? I would suggest that yes. And I don't think you either. You didn't say no, that you don't think so. I would want the part where you are saying, yes, we do, but in terms of the economy we can talk about, you know, that negativity thing. The true thing that you are saying that's impacting on this, on the request of Mr. Terblanche or the petitioner, I didn't hear a crunch from the Department of Labor to say that it may impact on the economy, because that should be your first and most likely the only argument, if all arguments should stem from the impact on the economy. And then we look at the, how we can work around it. You say, I hear what Department of Labor says, question. Don't implement paternity leave, rather increase family responsibility. You say, I just want to know, did you think of the problem first and try to have a solution around the problem, or did you think of the big problem, the economy? Because they should be all arguments should stem from the impact on the economy, I would think, on business. I think that is where the line should be drawn for me. I didn't get a clear answer on the impact on the economy from the side of labor. Thank you, sir.
Actually, members, for us to be able to make an informed judgment on what the impact on the economy is, we go to crash numbers, we have not crashed the numbers. But the impact on the economy is not only about the payment, whether it's who's going to pay certificate, or whether it's increased family responsibility. It's not about that only. It's about payment, it's about social security. Remember, the people who project work, the loss for a certain time that the economy will affect, will be affected. But I'm not in a position to say that the cost of the economy outweighs the social economic benefits that may come. I'm not in a position to say that. That's why our responsibility was on the moral judgment. And we indicated that we can't argue against time for parents to bond with their family and the bonding to have on the children. And we know that research shows us that many of the children that end up on the wrong side of the law, most of them have got absent fathers or live with one of the parents that are not. We know that the rest of them. On what the cost of this organization will be, we'll only be able to determine when we do that assessment. And for any legislation that we bring in Parliament, we require a government decision to do an economic impact assessment of that legislation, how it affects the economy, when we reach that stage. And at this stage, as I said, we've just amended the basic condition of the government. The president has signed on the amendments to the executive starting, I think, in September, I started in September. And as both labor and business in discussion on the amendment and even in parliament, never raised the issue, this issue of debate. Therefore, we couldn't have anticipated and have no discussion and look at this. And as it's known that the changes to labor law are not negotiated and debated primarily and starting with Netflix in terms of Netflix gets passed by this House or by this Parliament. Therefore, what I'm putting to the members is that as a department we think there is a moral argument for more days for both our argument is that for both women and men to be able to look after their children. We do not think that it's not important for men to be present. So the men, we're not saying that. We're not saying that what we're saying is that nothing prevents if the age of not for men to exercise that, but using the same feminist topic that we say. As I've made an example, with companies that are more progressive, I mean, look at the countries that are keeping it as well. You have a year of maternity leave. And that year of maternity leave can be divided between the father and the mother. And maybe the mother can take the first 6 months, the father can take the other 6 months to look after the children. And you don't have to be give birth to look after children. And that's how they look at the efficacy. And that's what we say. We say you've got to introduce a culture where both parents would be able to have days that would be able to use to look after their children. And that's the argument that I'm making. I'm not saying that we're going to be able to do it now. We think that because we just amended the legislation, might take some promise to come back within even a year to Parliament to amend the legislation.
I was thinking about the Parliament. Will the department oppose or not oppose your friends? If that be the case, and yeah, we have to wait and see. That's what I've read down from that point. Am I correct?
It's clear that you didn't have, you only don't have an economic impact assessment on this proposal. And I would think that it would be wise to have such a assessment so that we can also, you know, have knowledge on that. Jefferson, I would propose that we ask, humbly request the Department of Labor to do an impact assessment.
Where is any impact? Why you are taking determination? Those are some of the things that you can do. Let's recommend to the employment to go on to the employer. Or how to get the salary so that you have the bottom of the time.
Okay, why don't you know whether it will be possible for them to do
it? Oh, I think that's how we get the money.
Will it be possible for them to do it? I'm not answering.
I think everybody is trying to do that. They want to do that. Which friends of the petition
as well, if you view the procedure in the future, if you have a legislative proposal, or what you used to call a legislative proposal, which is a private member's vote. The private member's vote can only be instituted by a member of parliament. And that's my concern, is how this petition is framed. I don't know if it's come in the recommendations phase after committee proceedings or now, but I can take my due from example since we've had to look at now, is that maybe we should look at a finding a constitution entity in the area in which the so that member can be introduced to the vote. I mean, that's the time that it could be. And then that also answers other members' questions relating to any economic impact. Because it will then follow the route where the member will go to argue. It will be drafted. It will be some consultation with the department. All of that stuff, all of those economic impact issues will then be done. And the consultation with the member will then be done on parliament side. So that will determine the rules to the consultation for the background studies and the research system.
I think that we are for or not for, but if we are for, these are the rules we're going to, you know, explore and then consider and make sure that they are there. Thank you very much, Mr. Sadamans and Mr. Makaritabo, spending and then taking our invitations to come and help us to do our work better today. Indeed, you have helped us, and I'm sure when the committee sets and look at the determination, you know, look into everything that has been shared with yourself. And then, Mr. Sadamans, once again, thank you for taking your own public representative into confidence today. You have gotten this that you wanted them to look into it. Indeed, we'll look at and deliver it. If the need arise to have other clarities, we will send your and make the administrators communicate with the to send our work. And then with those that you will think you are everybody to go home if you so wish. We are on the last part of the agenda item voice. Thank you from contact report. I'm sure all of you are giving it what you're thinking. We will then expect you to go through it and make inputs and information which will then be considered it, whether we adopt it with amendments that you get before us tomorrow. I'm sure it's a straightforward change. We have to change anything on that one. Is there any announcement?
No.
It looks like between now and next year, we may not have any business unless and change something unforeseeable in next year. And one want to take this opportunity to wish you that you are better, you know, especially the assistant and your assistant that you are contracted with. But all those things, members hold you to responsibility. Out there, people are running fast. And when you are in this period, people get bonuses by your car, spend lentils, you know, drive them. They are selling their own things as well. Try to be very careful, because we still want to continue taking South Africa in a better position in the year 2015. So I'm wishing you all your bedtimers and come back with the energy to go the way that the South African government can be able to do that. In those boys, the reaching a budget, until further
notice. For your attention to you and the staff.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
You have a Christmas box?
Yeah,
but I'm very much there. I don't know.
Thank you.